Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. We're blessed today, as I promised you, powerful Mother's Day service. And it's going to begin today with a video from a friend of the church, Brenda Perry. And her title will be, When Tragedy Strikes, Lean on God. All of these stories and testimonies you're going to hear today could be this wide and endless, but they're keeping it down to a smidgen today. Then you're going to hear from Rhonda Bronte Tinkew, In the Hardest Moments, Cling to God. From Mama Yemisei Abrahams, When What You're Looking For at What You're Looking At is Horrifying. And Omayeli Alamuto, Love is the Greatest Strength. And our Jessica Momodou, Parenting While in Constant Fear for Their Future. Each are going to share snippets of their story. As I said, we could go on forever, but it's Mother's Day and lunches are booked, so they'll be brief. And then we'll have a worship song, and another four will be on the platform. We've had this service already, so we can tell you it is a power-packed morning. Would you, this morning, just give an applause now for everyone as they will be coming shortly. Turn your eyes to the screen.
Hi, my name's Brenda, and Pastor Marie had asked me to talk a little bit about how God has been working in my life. So here goes it. I was 31 years old when my husband of 7.5 years passed away from cancer and left me with two young boys, ages 6 and 3. It was only through the grace of God that I was able to survive such a dark time, a mother of two little ones working full time, you know, being both mom and dad. And I had so many in my church family, my family, his family, friends from work, and people that I didn't even know reaching out to help us. It wasn't easy. I will tell you that, as any single parent knows. But God was able to put people in my life and their lives at a time when we all needed it. So life was going pretty good, and several grandchildren later, and it'll be 2 years in July, tragedy struck us again. I got a call early the morning of July 2nd that my 16-year-old grandson had been in a car accident in Ohio and wasn't expected to live. The news wasn't good. The doctors were saying that he had lost 75% of his brain activity and would never be able to function. So we got the prayer warriors going, had people from Trinidad, Canada, Ohio, Florida, and several other states all over the world saying prayers for Xavier, that God's will be done. And here I am, Mother's Day, almost 2 years later, spending the week with my grandson and my younger son in Ohio. Xavier has a long way to go. He's not speaking yet. He's not walking yet. But I see changes every day that God's making in his life. It's amazing what prayer can do and continues to do. So my prayer for all of you out there, that if anybody's going through a difficult time or dark time, is that you reach out to God and tell him what's on your heart, and he is going to put people in place that when you need them, where you need them, all you have to do is accept the help that's out there. Our God is great. And every time I look at my grandson, I thank God for the changes that He's working in that young man's life. He's not done with any of us yet. So, happy Mother's Day.
When I was younger, I used to dream about becoming a mother. I imagined life full of joy, laughter, and sweet moments. But let me tell you, no one warned me about the tough times too. As a family, we went through some really difficult times. Today, I want to share with you a story of a woman who deeply touched me through my recent tough time. Josephat, the mother of Moses. Her story is told in just few verses, but her impact is long-lasting and powerful. Her name means God's glory. She was a Levite. Her grandfather, Levi, killed his sister's rapist, and his father's, Jacob's, final words to him were not good. He said, "Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly." But that didn't stop Josephat. She was a woman who knew who her God was, no matter what her history was. During my own difficult season, I often think about Josephat, her courage, her faith, and her deep compassion for her son, even while living under the cruel rule of Pharaoh. Now, I wasn't facing Pharaoh made of flesh and blood today, but who can agree with me that we were fighting modern-day pharaohs? The power of darkness that tried to steal, kill, and destroy our children through social media, the internet, peer pressure, and so much more. But like Josephat, I had something the enemy doesn't, God. As I raise my own children in this generation, I can't help but imagine how she have felt. She didn't get to celebrate the birth of her child. She didn't have baby showers. Instead, she had to hide him while still recovering from childbirth. I really don't know how she kept him from crying, but one thing I know, she believed and she had faith. I get so emotional when I read the verse. She saw that he was a special baby. That resonates with me deeply, and in my hardest and darkest moments, I've clung to that truth and reminded God that my children are special. They are his sons and daughters. Josephat did not give up when she saw all the babies around her being killed. She did not weep and let Pharaoh have his way. She fought. She knew hiding Moses was not a long-term solution, so she began to prepare. I imagine her painting the basket with tar and pitch, preparing her child for the unknown. With each stroke, I believe she was praying, believing, trusting God for her son's protection. And isn't that what we ought to do too? We may not be able to hide our children from the world, but we fight for them by prayer and fasting. And that has been my motto lately, fight in prayer and fasting. Because God who protected Moses will protect mine and your children from the waters of life. Picture baby Moses in the basket floating in the river while the water beats against it. Yet he's safe. He's protected, and here's the plot twist that I really love. Who finds him but Pharaoh's own daughter? She names him Moses, which means to draw or to pull out. So imagine that. The daughter of the man who wanted him dead ends up saving him, raising him and bringing him to the palace. And I can't help but laugh when I think Pharaoh's reaction when she showed him the Hebrew baby that she brought home. God's truly good. He turns bad situation around. The very enemy that sought to destroy Moses could not even touch him. In fact, Moses benefited from him. He unknowingly raised the child who will later confront him and lead God's people to freedom. And what's more, and that's the beautiful part of the story, Moses got to spend his early years of his life being raised by his own mother. And she got paid for it too. So isn't God faithful? Praise God. So today I want to urge you, every mother, sister, grandmother, and caregiver, to join me to fight for our children, grandchildren, step-adopted children. Be proactive, pray, fast, trust. Our children, just like Moses, are part of God's Exodus plan for us. God has a divine plan for them, a plan to prosper and not to harm them, a plan to give them hope and future. Though we don't see it and we see destruction and death all around us, we will hold on to the faith. Thank you and God bless you.
We are praying for you. Those five words meant everything to me during one of the darkest and most terrifying moments of my life. My daughter had just delivered our precious granddaughter. It was supposed to be a time of joy, but we were blindsided by a storm. Her pregnancy had been smooth, the delivery traumatic but successful. We thought the worst was over, but soon after she came home, she became so weak she couldn't move. We later found out that she had picked up a severe lung infection while in the hospital. Each morning, I'd visit her in the hospital and see the blood and mucus being drained from her lungs into two massive 2-liter bottles. The sight was horrifying. The silence of the doctors, the careful words of the nurses telling us to stay strong and pray, that's when I knew we were in a serious battle. But thank God, the prayers of the saints were going up. Because let me tell you, every child of God needs people who can stand in the gap when they themselves can't. Not just well-wishers, not just friends who speak nice words, but true intercessors, godly people, people who know how to labor in prayer until something shifts. There was a moment in that journey I'll never forget. The doctor said the fluid in her lungs wasn't decreasing at all. Day after day, no change. That evening, something in me rose up and I said, enough is enough. Right there in the hospital, we took what we had on hand and had communion. I stood in prayer for my daughter, declaring healing over her body and calling on heaven to intervene. The next morning, for the first time, the nurses reported a little decrease in the fluid being drained from her lungs. That was the breakthrough. From that moment on, everything began to turn around. And today, my daughter is completely healed. No trace of infection, no complications from the infection, and no lasting damage from the infection. Just full restoration. Praise God. God stepped in and did what He alone can do. This child of mine is so kind and useful to us. She and her husband are always there to help and encourage us. I know, I now see the reason, looking back, why the enemy wanted to snuff the life out of her. But God said no. Why? Because God's people were praying. It reminds me of Peter in Acts chapter 12. He was imprisoned. He was helpless, bound with chains and asleep within two guards. But scripture says the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And because they prayed, God sent an angel, broke his chains, and led him to freedom. I tell you, prayer works. It works miracles. None of us are immune from tough times. Whether it's your health, your children, your marriage, your relationship, your finances, or you are facing a temptation, or your mind, storms will come. But you don't have to face them alone. We are not meant to do life alone, and we are certainly not meant to go through hard seasons without spiritual backup and help. Surround yourself with people who are spiritually awake, people you can call on when the battle gets intense. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man, the scripture says, is highly effective and produces significant results. Psalm 20 encouraged us. And it's a prayer. It says, may the Lord answer you when you are in trouble and distress. May the name of God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary. and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. 1 Timothy encouraged each and every one of us, Christian. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. Be that person someone else can call. Be the one who lifts others when they are not, when they are too weak to pray for themselves. Let's not just talk about prayer. Let's live it. It's how we fight as Christians, and it's how we win.
Good afternoon, church. As a mother of three, my advice would be to draw strength from the stories of the remarkable women in the Bible. Jochebed, known for her guts, reminds me to be brave for my children, protecting them fiercely. Naomi, known for her hope, inspires me to stay positive even in difficult times. Hannah, known for her perseverance, teaches me to never give up, especially when praying for my children's well-being and waiting for answers to prayers. Mary, known for her obedience, shows the importance of trusting in God's plan even when it's hard. Elizabeth, known for her righteousness, encourages me to live with integrity, setting a good example for my children. Louise and Eunice, known for their faith, remind me to nurture my children's faith, building a strong foundation for their lives. Finally, Ruth, known for her love, is a constant reminder of the power of unconditional love. Supporting my children through every challenge, I know that love is the greatest strength of all. These women offer us a powerful guide for motherhood in tough times, reminding us that guts, hope, perseverance, obedience, righteousness, faith, and love are the pillars that support us through any challenge.
Though my motherhood experience is a bit different than the average or ideal, God has carried us through so much, and being a mom to four beautiful and unique children is one of the greatest things I'll ever accomplish. I became pregnant for the first time just after my 17th birthday, and I gave birth to my daughter 3 months before I turned 18. I was still in high school, dad was about to start university, and though my parents were incredibly disappointed, I wasn't on my own. I had the support of my mom, dad, and stepmom. I did not know the Lord, and this is incredibly embarrassing to admit now that I'm wiser, but I thought I should have all my fun and get into all my trouble before my daughter was old enough to see or understand. Obviously, this was a bad idea, and within a couple years, I had moved out and given birth again at 20. I made a lot of bad decisions and got into my share of trouble. I thought with two children, it would be wise to settle down. So I did at 21, and I had another child. But that didn't work out, and eventually I was on my own with three children. I genuinely didn't know how much I didn't know about being a mom. I thought it was pretty easy for the first years. It seemed like you just needed to provide love and basic needs. As they got older and their needs became more complex, I was totally in over my head. I made poor choice after poor choice trying to provide what I thought they needed most. And though some of the things were the right things, like getting married, raising them in a two-parent home, and moving to the suburbs to raise them in a better area, I truly lacked a strong relationship with the Lord, and he definitely wasn't at the center of our lives or the head of our home. I brought my children to church regularly, but to be honest, I often let competitive sports and other things come first. I thought sports would keep them out of trouble as they grew. I was very strict with them, and I really overcompensated for my young age, feeling like I needed to prove myself as a young mom. I lived in fear that my children would make the same mistakes that I did, and I could never truly accept that God had a plan for their lives, and it wasn't up to me. We started to have serious problems before the pandemic and had tried some counseling. But when the pandemic hit, it exasperated the problems beyond my worst fears. Over the past few years, my older children have faced challenges of my nightmares, problems with addiction and substance abuse, eating disorders, homelessness, trouble with the law, serious mental health problems, pretty much everything except teen pregnancy. I think most mothers would agree that our pain, the pain that we feel when our kids hurt, hurts us even more than our own. You want to do everything you can to make it better, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes God will tell you to step back or do something that is contrary to every mothering instinct. Sometimes he will tell you just to be there and wait. Sometimes he will tell you to make room for his plan. God has delivered my children through situations that were so dark that I could barely see hope, and given me promises for their future that have carried us through valleys. God has strengthened my faith and taught me, and by extension them too, that you cannot live in fear. We have to trust his plan. These trials may not be what I had planned for them, but I know God's plan is better. God has raised my youngest up through these trials. She may not have been aware of what was going on, but she was able to see how prayer is a lifeline. Whenever she sees something that shouldn't be, she brings it to God. She may not know the specific challenges that her siblings have faced, but when she sees someone is struggling, she lifts them up in prayer. She is blessed not to have been caught in the cycle of fear and wholly trusts God. I didn't want to share the details of their specific challenges today because I wholeheartedly believe that my children will be able to share their testimonies and all that God has delivered them from in the future.
We wanted to have a Mother's Day where we shared the real, the scripture, just so much different, the miracles, such a powerful rendition, Omiyeli, as you gave us. I might put that together for some of the ladies, and another time I might have it out at the desk for you to just be strengthening you. There's so much everyone here has shared that has already lifted us up. And I want you to know, Jessica is sharing her story for you, parents and grandparents, to not give up. Many of you don't know, but every time I need a child to pray, I just call on Jessica's daughter, Mahalia, and she does not get scripted. When you hear her pray, you think we wrote that prayer. You just say to her, we need you to pray. And she prays from the bottom of her heart. Because while you have gone through so much, and while you've had to live through the fear of it all, you've grown in faith and you've raised a daughter of faith. And when you see that little one, don't go and just say stuff to her. Pray that God will put a wall of fire around her. Because she's a change agent for the future. I'm going to caution every one of you, because sometimes we hear stories and we'll go, oh, you're so good, and we mess them up. Whenever you see her, just say, God, put a wall of fire, a wall of protection, a wall of power around that one, because she's going to be a change agent for many generations. The next four speakers will be Erica Alexander. God is still working on them. Nicosa Holland, Determine Your Village. Hermela Nurse Smith, Gratitude as a Growing Mother. Lena Bond, Stick It Through. And then Mother Murrow will come and close the service in prayer.
Good morning, everyone. As a single mother raising two boys, it wasn't easy. They were both raised in a Christian household. However, they found things of the world more enticing. But I stayed faithful. Trusting God, I was able to witness my firstborn surrendered his life and was baptized right here at PPC. Since then, there has been a 360 transformation in his life. Today, he encourages people around him to seek Jesus. This is my son who never wanted to hear about Jesus when he was growing up. Despite the challenges we face, despite the overwhelming odds, I never give up proving that a mother's love can weather any storm. The scripture I received from the Lord when they were young is Isaiah 54:13. It says, "All my children will be taught by the Lord, and great shall be their peace." So as parents, whether single or not, continue to be faithful to God. Because love, at the end of it, despite what we face in life, love conquers all. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I believe that these are the toughest times to raise children. Certainly the toughest time to raise godly children. As the mother of four boys, I also believe it's the toughest time to raise godly young men. At a time when society is fighting against every godly principle, pushing evil agendas to our children, and even mocking godly behavior, only the grace of God has and continues to uphold me and my husband, Carwin, as we raise our boys. First, we've made it mandatory that we read the Bible with our boys. I grew up memorizing the word, so I do the same with our boys. Whether delegating a passage to our older sons to learn and then asking them to exhort that passage during family devotions, or taking the time to teach a chapter verse by verse to our younger sons, or teaching them Psalm chapter 1 as a rap song, regardless of the method, our goal is simple. Our children must read and learn the Word of God. Second, we pray with and for our children every day, and we encourage them to pray out loud every day. For us, it's not sufficient to pray quietly in your minds. We're certainly not shy about praying out loud in front of them, and we'll even pray about their misbehavior in front of them so they know we're petitioning God about it. We encourage them to pray for each other, to pray about things around our world, their friends, their teachers, even people they don't like. We also assign specific prayer points to them on both small and significant needs. And we use wisdom when we assign those prayer points because some can be long-winded, one in particular. Thirdly, we worship with our children and fill our home and car with godly music. If children can be bold for secular things, they can certainly be taught to worship God boldly. I remind my children that if they deny Christ, He will deny them before our Heavenly Father. So they should leave no doubt that they belong to Him and worship Him boldly. Finally, it is most important to us to cultivate a village around our children, filling our village with people who love, encourage, pray for, and even correct our children. Carwin and I are not ashamed that we are protective parents. And we recognize that God already established a roadmap for protective parenting and for raising a Joash. We often marvel at the 7-year-old King Joash in the Bible who would lead the rebuilding of the Lord's temple. However, King Joash was only able to do so because he had a village around him that protected him. 2 Kings 11 verse 8, the priest said, "Form a bodyguard around the king and keep your weapons in hand. Kill anyone who tries to break through." So in like manner, we decide who comes into our village and who stays out. Both with prayer and with works, lots of prayer and works, we work hard to tend our village. Movies, shows, games, we vet them all. We've even found online resources that go beyond just rating a movie. They specifically identify the number of profanity in a movie, highlight references to witchcraft or perversion, or any other vile thing that we want to keep away from our children. And if we haven't had a chance to review it, the answer is no. Parents, I encourage you, tend your village. The influences that are hampering your children, remove them. Friends, influencers, technology, music, games, and all the other negative influences that harm them or push them away from the things of God have no place in your village. At a time when schools are removing the right of our children to refuse to participate in pride-related activities, when a school administrator can tell the story of a transgender boy's triumph on the school's PA system to grades 8 to kindergarten children, this is no time for wishy-washy parenting. We constantly remind our children of their identity in Christ. We call them gentleman, sir, young man of God, to reinforce their identity and to counter the lies of the enemy. I know it's very challenging, and I know we're very busy, but so is the enemy. That means we can't take a day off. We have to be stronger than the choir of evil that drums to our children day after day. Deuteronomy 6 reminds us to constantly talk about the commands of God with our children. If we do what Deuteronomy 6 says and talk about them when they wake up, when they go to sleep, when they go out, when they come home, in the car, and on and on and on, we will drown out the enemy. So whether you're a single parent singing a solo or parents singing a duet, don't slack off. Let's fight the good fight of faith. And as we build up a Christ-centered village together, we can raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Thank you.
Good afternoon, church. Some of the most precious moments of my life as a mother have been watching my children sleep. I remember many sleepless nights in the beginning when I would try absolutely anything to get them to sleep. Bouncing, walking, singing, swaying. And in my exhaustion, when I thought I had nothing left to give, I would finally feel the little muscles begin to relax and their little bodies become heavy as they melted into my arms. And I would marvel at the absolute trust and security they had and the peace that fell across their faces. Gratitude would hit me hard in these moments as I would begin to praise my Heavenly Father and thank Him and think about His goodness and what He had brought me through. And it's in these moments of caring for my child that I truly began to realize how He was caring for me. Though there were many lessons left to learn, I knew I could always come and find rest in His arms.
Good afternoon, church. Psalm 127:3. The Bible views children as a blessing from God, a heritage and reward. We're called to reflect God's unconditional love to our children, even when they test every ounce of our patience, which, let's be honest, they often do. It's important to make time for them, prioritize open communication, strive to be a living example of God's love and values. Love them enough to set boundaries, discipline when needed, yes, even when it's easier to go hide in a pantry. Teach them respect and compassion for others. Know your own needs and limitations as a parent. None of us came with a manual. And be flexible enough to adjust your parenting style to meet each child where they are, because no two are alike, of course. Nurture them in God's ways, not only through teaching, but through example. Pray over them when they're little, pray more as they grow, and pray like you've never prayed before when they hit their teenage years. And when they're adults and out of your house, hallelujah, keep praying. They're now the ones responsible for passing on those godly values to the next generation. Proverbs 22:6, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
And now we're going to have our Mother Merle pray for every mom. Would you just stand today and receive God's blessing in prayer?
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we pause to say thank you. Thank you, God, for your blessing upon mothers. Thank you, God Almighty, for you call us in the name of Jesus Christ to multiply. And oh, God Almighty, every one of us as a mother can look around and see that we have been there to make nations because you called us to multiply. We bless your holy name, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy that, oh God, you bestow upon us. Bless mothers as they stand in this place in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, some are hurting, and oh God Almighty, for just sitting and for the believing as they come to church and sit in church that something would happen. We pray, Heavenly Father, wrap your arms of comfort around them. I was in that situation at the time. But God, Father God, you took me out and make me bold to stand strong, to bow my knees and to cry unto you. Do it for somebody in this place this morning. Wake them up and shake them up and know that they can shout unto the Lord. They can weep to the Lord. They can stand and raise hands unto the Lord and thank him. And Father, he will fight for them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray for those, oh God, are sitting in fear. Oh God, remember, Father, many are crying out, help me in the name of Jesus. You're the very present helper in the time of trouble. My God, the children, oh God, incarceration. Oh God, some are standing before the judge. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God, be that redeemer. Be that, oh God, Father God, God of compassion. Oh God Almighty, break chains and shackles and set, oh God, that son free in the name of Jesus. Some addicted to drugs, my God Almighty Father, wake them up and shake them up. Let them hunger and thirst for your righteousness' sake. Let them drink the wells of salvation. Oh God, Father, remove that, oh God, Father, that thirst for drugs, my God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's no secret with you, my God. With my heart, we cry unto you, Lord, Father, help in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stop mothers, oh God, to believe that you are with them. Set up to know, Father, what they hear in this place today is truth, my God, that, oh God, will walk in the power and the might of who you are. Remember, Father, those that are crying out, oh God, Lord, wait for a child. Remember Hannah, my God? Father God, there was a mocker jeering Hannah. My God Almighty, as she was bearing children. But oh God, Hannah did not revile. She stood strong and she walked in the sanctuary of God. And Father, she lift her hearts and murmur, my God, unto you. And thank you, Lord God. Father God, impregnate that mother that she brought for the prophet. Oh God, Samuel, that stands strong in the name of Jesus. Remember grandmothers, my God. We pray for Eunice, oh God, and Lois, my God Almighty Father, woman of great faith. Oh God, they stand around their son Timothy, my God. Lord Father, inspire him to stand strong in faith, believing. Right in this house, my God, we saw it, oh God, right in the casino, when, oh God, little boy stood up and declared his faith. My God Almighty, he was attacked by the enemy, but Father, believe, because his parents taught him in the name of Jesus, believe you, and he survived and believed that he'll be healed. And Father, you show evidence of who you are. Bless mothers in this house. May live by faith, rejoicing, clapping and singing, you are good. Your mercy endure forever. Anointing for every mother. Raise them up to pray. Raise them to seek your face. Raise them to bow their knees and give thanks and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.